How many have seen the movie Home Alone? Quite a few. Not everyone. Home Alone came out when I was 8 years old. And I have this very distinct memory of it because it was one of the few movies that my entire family went to go see in the theaters. And it came out around Christmas time. So it has special meaning to me, and it's something that I've watched almost every single Christmas time this time of year. And if you're not familiar with the story, there's this little boy named Macaulay Culkin. His name in the movie is called Kevin. Gets accidentally left at home in a home in Chicago. And while his mother is trying to get back to him, there are these burglars that are trying to get in. And he is learning how to live on his own as an 8-year-old boy while also fending off these burglars in these very comedic and wonderful ways. This week, we watched the movie Home Alone with my family. And my son Simon, who's 4, sat right next to me in our oversized chair. And to say that he enjoyed the movie would be an understatement. Every time Kevin did something mischievous or kind of got the bad guys with a paint can flying down the stairs or like stepping on a nail or whatever, he would just giggle and giggle and giggle and giggle to the point where by the end of the movie, I was no longer laughing at the movie, but just surely enjoying my son giggling nonstop. It seems that children are the true bearers of unfettered joy. They carry with them this incredible ability to find pleasure in simple things, a movie, a craft, playing with toys, running around, or just being silly. And it can be infectious. It can pass from one kid to another, and sometimes even infect adults. Kids seek out joy. My daughter will sometimes come up to me, even though she's 7, she'll say, "Dad, can you tickle me to my bones?" You know, like, I love that statement. It seems, however, that joy for us adults is a little more complex. Like we have to seek it out, work for it, and receive it only in measured amounts. As for me, joy comes with some attachments. You know, it can't be done at the expense of another. It has to fit into my schedule. It should be reasonably productive and appropriately priced. And it should be restorative in some way, somehow healing. And I doubt that children really go through these calculations when it comes to joy. But joy is tricky now, I feel. Maybe it's always been, but it feels tricky now. We've had a difficult year as a nation. We've had natural disasters and incidents of mass violence. We've experienced unmatched chaos and division in Washington. And recently, the predatory nature of many powerful men has been exposed, triggering an important and painful Me Too campaign against sexual violence, coercion, and harassment. And personally, this has been a difficult year for many. We've lost people close to us, or dealt with our own illnesses or diagnoses, or felt the weight of those suffering around us. And yet, we're in the season of joy, of happy songs and twinkling lights, of gift giving and parties, of merriment and generosity. So, what does joy look like this season, knowing what we know? And we begin the season of Advent this morning. The beginning of Advent serves as a penitent time, a time when we acknowledge the current state of affairs within our world and within ourselves. What has this year been for you? And why has it been those things? What feels heavy right now? What is weighing you down? And contrary to that, what feels light? What's bringing you hope or comfort or joy? Where are those places that you've plugged into the common good? Or where are those places that you would like to plug in to help other people around you? And what's holding you up? I think the Christian faith is really good at this, at self-reflection, for it calls us to be alert and to stay awake, to be sober-minded. And in the words of Paul in his letter to the church in Philippi, he writes, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure." Now, I'm still thinking through what this passage means, but it seems like there is a great reverence for how we think and what we do because God is working somehow through us. And I take the fear and trembling to be something like, be thoughtful and humble. Likewise, when Paul is speaking to the Corinthians in our passage today, he is thankful for the grace given to this early faith community in the message of Jesus. It seems that God is working through this group despite its many troubles. Because there is an embodiment going on here, an incarnation. God is at work in the lives of this community of the faithful. Now, regarding Advent, we know how this story ends. That in a couple of weeks, Jesus will be born again. A moment of great joy. But it seems like this season begs us to work for that joy. To prepare for that joy. It begs us to find the right and responsible words and feelings. To find the right and responsible attitudes and actions. To name something that is blurry. And to find joy and celebrate that joy even though we know what we know. Now, Israel in the time of Jesus was a troubled land. The country was occupied by an oppressive foreign power. The land was owned by a very few wealthy individuals, and it was being destroyed by a monoculture planting of either olive trees or vineyards. Wealth inequality was perhaps at its highest point in Israel's scattered history. And there were many acts of violent terrorism or rebellion, often targeting civilian gatherings. Most of the population lived on the edge of survival. And out of this, out of all of that, a child will be born and angels will sing and shepherds will visit and wise men will bring gifts. And out of this, a child will grow and bring good news and healing. He will teach a band of disciples about God and challenge the system that oppressed his people. And as the story goes, this man, Jesus, will be killed by the state and resurrected after 3 days. And again, as the story goes, this man will ascend into heaven and will be with us in some form or fashion in our communities of faith, guiding our work. And he will be with us in our own lives, comforting and challenging us to seek out the good news, to be charitable in all things, and to fight for those on the margins who live and work among us. Perhaps more than any time in the Christian liturgical year, the season of Advent reminds us that we do not need to be the sole bearers of the weight of the world. We are not called to trudge through the muck and the mire without guidance, support, or inspiration. And we are not alone when it comes to finding joy, a sustaining joy that restores our souls and renews our hope that love and justice will indeed prevail in this world. This is the church's proclamation in the season of Advent. So may God be with us and guide us through this journey of self-reflection and soul-searching. May we find God working around us in ways we have yet to see. And may we find the measure of joy that we truly need in the season of Advent. Amen.